It's Tuesday, 30th of November, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Goza Goes.
Hello.
Hey Lips.
Hello.
And newcomer Prince.
Hi. Sorry. Oh my god, that was a bad first start.
Take two. And Prince!
Hi!
We've got not a lot to talk about this week. I mean, there's been the usual stuff, like this game is terrible, this company is awful, but there's not really a lot that we can milk much conversation out of. So I'm hoping to bulk it out with a juicy main topic. Stay tuned for that. But first, what's everyone been playing this week? Gores, take us away.
I spent a lot of time on Elite Dangerous over last week, surprisingly. I did a lot of planetary settlement gameplay stuff. Had fun trying to figure out how I can commit crimes without being caught and actually being chased by the authorities. I didn't do that so far since the release of Odyssey. So yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. Just trying to figure out how I can break AI and stuff.
I was just in trouble all the time with the authorities during the beta before it released. I haven't gone back to it since.
Yeah, I heard that in the beta you had a way to knock out people instead of killing them, but now you can only just kill them if they're in your way.
That sounds like something Frontier would do.
But, like, it's, I mean, you would expect to have a way to dispatch enemies non-lethally, but I found that it kind of adds to the, like, unintentionally makes the world feel like a dystopian sci-fi, where basically you can dispatch NPCs if you scan them and they have a bounty on them. So it's like I started to find it hilarious, because it's like it's very dystopian, like the rules are more important than lives. So like I scan this person and they are wanted in like 50 million light years away, so I can just kill them and like it doesn't count as a crime.
Well, to be fair, if they did still have the knocking people out option, then, well, how long does your air supply last in your suit? Because if they don't wake up before their suit runs out of air, then they're dead anyway.
Right, yeah.
Payslips, what about you?
I made the mistake of convincing myself that I'd really enjoy playing Call of Duty Warzone again after taking about 4 months off. And, a lot of my friends play it, so I hopped back onto that. And I'm just going to say, like, I've really been enjoying the mental health break I've had not playing that game. So, it was like first game back, I was straight back to my old kind of frustrated self. I've been giving that a go this past week. I don't foresee it continuing for much longer, though.
How big were the updates that it needed?
Oh man, it's so big. It's like 85 gigabytes just to reinstall the game by itself. They've got a new map coming out next week as well, which is probably going to be like maybe another 60-70 gigabyte update, because you have to kind of gut out the old map and put the new map back in. You know, it's just ridiculous. I'm lucky I've got pretty fast internet, but it's not even worth it really to begin with.
You'd best uninstall it before the update hits then.
Yeah, for sure. Save some bandwidth.
Prince, what about you?
I've been revisiting the early Resident Evil games. I ended up playing in the beginning of the week, since I went to see the new movie. So I was like, I really want to complain about this while I'm in the theater. So I better replay all of the early games. So that's what I spent my week doing for the first half. And then the second half, I decided I should get back into Xenosaga Episode 1.
Myself, I've played some more of Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remaster. And still pretty much enjoying it, but I've realized that the digital version doesn't come with a manual and there's no actual tutorial. And I was like 4.5 hours into the game before I got you're basically, as part of the story, you're given a team member. And I'm like 4.5 hours in before I realize, oh, why, when you're in a battle, you have to scroll to the side to use items or talk to the enemies and recruit them into your party.
Oh my gosh. You didn't know about negotiations?
I did not. Some of the NPCs had been saying about negotiations, like, oh, maybe I'll be told about those after I defeat the boss. And no, defeat the boss, nothing about it. So I just plug along until, when are they going to tell me about these negotiations? How do I get more party members?
Oh,
turns out I could have been doing it from the start.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at your pain, but that is so funny.
I mean, it's a remaster, not a remake, but come on, a couple of hints maybe.
Oh my gosh.
But it's because I have it on a merciful difficulty, so I haven't been receiving enough damage to warrant me needing to find out how to use items and refill my health during a battle. I could just do it afterwards. But
so, a question, yeah. Why are you playing merciful? Is it just because you want to like play for the story, or is there like...
I play games on easy. I do just not want always? A challenge. I do not want a challenge. I want an experience.
No, yeah, I get that. I mean, always though. That's hard. I mean, like not hard. That's I can't imagine. I'm sorry. I'm impressed, oddly enough.
Well, I don't have 40 hours to get good at a game because I've got other stuff to do. I've got 4 kids. So if I've got everything on easy, I can just experience the story and I'm done with the game and move on to something else.
Oh, that's nice, actually. Like, it gives you the time to, like, relax. You can actually relax and play games, which I'm sure that's what they're there for initially.
I've never touched a Dark Souls and I don't intend to because everyone says they're so difficult, so I'm not even going to attempt it.
Is that the Shin Megami Tensei game with Dante from the Devil May Cry series?
Yes.
Is that the one?
I don't know, and if it is, I did not know.
It is. That's a whole meme. Like that was the big advertising for because I think Nocturne was the first PS2 game Atlus released, like in America for the PS2 specifically. They did PS1 games, but I think that might have been the first PS2 game. Don't necessarily quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I might be right. So they really wanted to like kick it out there. So they put on the covers and they had as a cameo Dante from Devil May Cry because he was so hot then. Oh, everybody loved Dante. Sorry.
Dante, so hot. So hot right now.
I mean, he is. I love Dante still. But I mean, like hot as in cool. Like he was popular.
I never considered that Dante was the video game equivalent of Marvel's Wolverine. Oh, let's just stick Wolverine on the cover and then we'll sell the comic.
Oh my gosh. That's kind of almost what it was, I feel like. It wasn't, they didn't show his picture either. It's just this like silver gold sticker they slapped on the cover that was like featuring Dante from Devil May Cry.
And Knuckles.
Knuckles, the hedgehog.
Oh, don't. Oh, listen to the Pals Anime podcast, this Thursday, and Artura did not make me a happy person during that recording.
Or maybe you're talking about Shin Megami Tensei 3 HD Nocturne and Knuckles, the expansion pack that you put the original disc inside of.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry, that was awful. That was terrible.
No, that was amazing. Just add end Knuckles to any game title.
Well, you know what isn't going to feature Knuckles? The upcoming resurrected, cancelled Fallout game. Back in 2003, a third Fallout game was being made, and it went by the code name Van Buren. And then Black Isle Studios were shut down very early in development, so they basically had a 700-page design document and a tech demo. And since then, since those were leaked in the early 2000s, people have been trying to create New Vegas mods and recreate Van Buren itself. Of course, the original couple of Fallout games were computer RPGs, classic RPGs, which were isometric and you had to click to move rather than the first person that Fallout 3 eventually became. But apparently game developer Adam Lacko has been working on Project Van Buren since 2017, and this past week has been getting quite a bit of attention, I suppose, because he's revealed some gameplay, some very early gameplay on Twitter. Unlike some of the aforementioned mods or other versions that have been attempted before, he's claiming that he's going to stick to the design document rather than just take notes. Like, for instance, one of the main set pieces is to take place at a dam, which was later used for Fallout New Vegas. So rather than something similar like a dam, it's going to be the dam from the design document.
Very cool project. I mean, I never got a chance to play the original Fallout games, the number one and two. But, I mean, I personally, for my sake, I was quite happy with the direction Bethesda took it with Fallout 3, because Fallout New Vegas and 4, by extension, have been like some of my favourite games. I know maybe saying Fallout 4 is a favourite game is a bit controversial, but I thought it was a really good kind of canvas for modding. But it's cool seeing this original kind of vision getting brought to light, and I know a lot of original Fallout fans are going to be really excited about this.
Well, there are a lot of games still being released fairly recently that are in the similar vein. There's the Wastelands series, Divinity series, Pillars of Eternity, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there is certainly room for that, for this, even if it wasn't a Fallout game. It's going to be released free, apparently, and it's going to be out, quote-unquote, when it's done.
Has this been given the blessing by Bethesda by any chance, or is this one of those things that now he's announced it might get cease and desisted?
I imagine since it's free, he's planning on releasing it free, that Bethesda would be okay with it because of, you know, fair use. Free mods and such are generally okay, unless, you know, you're Nintendo or Rockstar.
Yeah, hot topic.
But I haven't actually seen any, either way, if it's either blessed or being blacklisted or something.
Yeah, I'm checking out his website now, and he says at the bottom that this is explicitly not making any income at all in any form. So I think that's probably the way that Adam Lacko has managed to kind of keep his hands clean as far as, you know, potential legal action. I think, I mean, Bethesda have always been pretty chill, like, with stuff, like, as far as mods and stuff created from their stuff. So, you know, they let that, what's that game they made? It was like that Total Conversion mod for Skyrim that got released as its own kind of individual thing. Enderal, that's it, Enderal. They were pretty cool with that. Although I guess that is just a mod, so...
Have any of you played the original Fallout games, other than you, Payslip, you already said?
I played the second one a lot, mainly because that was one of the few games that my PC at the time could run. The PC had like 8 megabytes of RAM, I think, or something.
You didn't want to play it, you just had to play it.
Well, I did enjoy it, but it was still a bit tough to play it, because I think that's under minimum requirements, so like loading would take forever, loading saves, loading new locations, whatever. But yeah, I played the game a lot, and I don't think I ever finished it, like beat the main quest. But I got pretty far, and I got all the fond memories of it, like the car, the Highwayman, I think it was called. I hope that in Fallout 4 they would bring back the car in some form, but they didn't. And yeah, I lost all interest in Fallout 4 because of that.
Yeah, that's a shame. Prince?
I only ever played New Vegas, to be honest, and I'm not a big Fallout fan, but that was because I, like, spent a lot of my childhood out in Vegas, and a lot of that stuff's, like, based off of Nevada. It's so crazy. Like, I mean, in Nevada in general, I was out in Nevada, my family has mines out there, and it's crazy, and you really do find, like, random boats in the middle of the desert, and you're like, hey, and then there's all sorts of crazy stuff. Like, it's Nevada, it's so cool. Sorry. But that's the only one I ever cared about, so I feel, like, bad. But I do want to see this one just because I find it really interesting from, like, a fan project's perspective. That's cool. That's a lot of work, and I hope it, like, there's a good payoff for that, to be honest, because that's, like, you could tell this is a project with love in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Can we go back to boats in the desert? Your family finds boats out in the desert.
Well, we don't find... you find them, like, you come across them. That's not, like... a thing you look out to, something that you just do. One of my favorites is in Mina, Nevada, which is like an abandoned mine town. There's this, like, I think it used to be a person's house. It might still be a person's house. They might be like the last person living in town because it's the best kept up thing in it. It's just a giant, like, sailboat out there. Like, this person lives in a giant boat. It's crazy. In the middle of the desert, there's no water anywhere. It's awesome. Oh.
Like Popeye, like, did you ever watch the Popeye movie? There was like I'm pretty sure there was a house that was like a boat or something. Maybe
I think
I'm
everything was
it.
A boat in that movie.
Boats that goes around in the desert.
Boats that go around in the desert. It's interesting.
I'm sure that's a video game thing.
Oh, probably. But it's interesting. Nevada's like a little bit of a, like, like, there's a reason I think people think weird things happen out there. Like, Soul Eater takes place out there, and I'm like, yeah, that's realistic.
Well, there is the wacky wasteland perk in New Vegas.
That's one of my favorite perks. Yeah, I love that.
I don't know why you would not use that perk.
Is that the one that makes you find the Indiana Jones fridge?
In the fridge, yeah.
Yeah, and then you had like the alien space, like there's like a broken down alien spacecraft with like stranded aliens that you could find. Yeah.
And there was, like, well, that's because Area 51's out there.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, like the actual one.
Did that raid ever happen? Like, they were planning to do that raid?
Yeah, actually, my friend from my college is the one who led that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She goes by she/her pronouns now. but she's so cool. And I, like, it's so weird seeing the Naruto kid from your college do, like, be on TV every day. Like, it was so weird. And then people did go, but it got, like, thrown out last minute because there was a lot of lawsuit stuff going on because it was a danger to the people. And then my ex-boyfriend, who was in the Air Force, they were literally teaching our military how to handle kids who were Naruto running in case it actually was something. The U.S. government, everybody.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the U.S. government spends enough on the military, so they have funds to spend on teaching troops how to deal with Naruto running.
Did someone contact Japan to learn how to deal with ninjas?
In 70 years, there's going to be some declassified documents.
Oh, I'm so excited for it.
Did everyone, all soldiers, had to play Ninja Gaiden on NES?
Well, I don't have a good segue from that, but our next news story is about a apparently upcoming Marvel massively multiplayer online RPG along the lines of DC Universe Online, being made by the studio that makes DC Universe Online. I'm sure Disney or Warner Brothers have got something to say about that, but apparently it's in the works because, I thought this news story said the name of the studio, but it does not. That's great. Thanks, guys. Just the DC Universe Online Studio. Thanks.
Wow.
Now I look less professional because you're not professional.
Daybreak Game Company, that's what they're called.
I think that's the publisher, that's not the developer.
Dimensional Inc. Games, that's it.
Thank you. So Dimensional Inc. Dimensional Inc. Games are working with Jack Emmert, who, quote-unquote, designed and helmed City of Heroes, a now-closed-down MMORPG that's, you know, come back as a fan project, as I think it's Champions Online now. But, yeah, Jack Emmert is currently the lead of DC Universe Online, so clearly knows superheroes and knows what they're doing. About this time last year, I was actually playing DC Universe Online because it was coming up to their 10th anniversary. And I wrote an article for GameGrin.com about it. And it's not a bad game. It's heavily monetized, but since we don't currently have a Marvel-based MMORPG, I kind of want to see what happens. The last we saw of a multiplayer Marvel game was Marvel Heroes, which got shut down a few years ago at this point.
Do you think Batman will be in it?
No, I think that Disney would pull the project.
Do you think the X-Men will be in it?
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm not too sure because X-Men and Spider-Man are both, they both have movies being made by, well, Spider-Man has movies being made by other companies. Since Disney bought Fox and thus got the rights back to the X-Men, they haven't actually done anything with them. Interesting fact, in 2015, Marvel just cancelled the Fantastic Four comic because they didn't want to make comics for a movie property that was another company was making.
That's savage.
Horrible. That's, oh my god. Holy. Oh my god.
And it worked because a couple of years later they got the rights back to Fantastic Four.
Is there like comics again now?
Yes, there are comics now. There are so many Fantastic Four comics now. It's just a crazy amount of Fantastic Four comics to make up for the fact they didn't publish them for a couple of years.
Is there more than four?
don't think there's more than four at once. It's a load of mini-series and one-shots.
Is Fantastic Four still four people?
Technically, no. It was six, but now they're back down to... it was seven, but now they're back down to six.
What happened?
Two of them had kids.
Nothing bad. I was like, did they kill someone? Like, I was ready for that sad tea.
Oh, the Fantastic Four have each died multiple times.
Oh, I bet. That's all comics.
There was a storyline, Death of the Invisible Woman, and it's like, but right at the start of this storyline, you introduced a future Invisible Woman, so clearly we know that she's going to die, not the real one.
Oh, classic. No one stays dead.
And pretend that she was dead. So maybe they couldn't find her. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Face lips.
No,
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's good. I'm actually not going to say anything of value at all, so it really doesn't matter. I was going to make a Dante from the Devil May Cry joke about
the new Dante from Marvel game. Cry.
Yes, I was wondering if the new Marvel MMO will have Dante from the Devil May Cry series.
Oh, he just stole that joke.
It's going to be a PlayStation exclusive.
How about Marvel versus Capcom Online then?
I wish!
The recent Marvel versus Capcom Online was kind of badly received because they didn't have X-Men characters in it.
But did it have Dante?
That's so valid, though. That's so valid. Sorry, that joke just got me bad. That's valid. Why would you want a Marvel versus Capcom game without X-Men? Like, that's so valid.
Well, the X-Men, it didn't appear in that. They didn't appear in Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. Again, because another company was producing movies.
But it hurts sometimes, because they're the only, like, Marvel property I care about, to be honest. Like, straight up, the X-Men are the only ones I care about. And even that, like, only to an extent, admittedly. But I care about them so much more than everything else, so it bothers me. Because I'm like, I hate the rest of these people every time I see, like, other Marvel characters.
but what about Spider-Man? Speaking of Spider-Man, he's now in Marvel's Avengers.
That was such a good... what is the word for it? I can't remember.
Segue,
yes.
Every week, I'm more and more astounded by the smoothness of your segues, Ace.
Thank you. I've done so many of these episodes. We're on 300 and what? I've practiced. But yes, the recent updates, which arrived today, I believe, for Marvel's Avengers, now lets you play as Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. And, you know, probably next year for other consoles, but shush, don't tell anyone, because they haven't announced if it's a limited exclusivity, even though it probably is. And... They've also done a bunch of changes to equipment and increased the level cap. They've added the first raid, which is... I saw some of it on the video, which also showed gameplay of Spider-Man. And it's all War of Wakanda stuff, and that whole section of the game is just awful.
Oh.
The enemies are terrible. Black Panther's not fun to control.
Say that.
I still haven't played Marvel's Avengers. It's free on Game Pass, and I still just... I feel like no motivation to play that game whatsoever. And looking at the footage for the Spider-Man stuff, like, it's cool, I mean, I guess, but... I don't know. We spoke about this a few podcasts back. Like, is it enough to sell... Is it enough to sell the game for PlayStation owners to have Spider-Man on it? Or is it enough for people to be like, oh, I need to get a PlayStation so I can play a Spider-Man on this very mediocre Marvel Avengers game?
Guess we'll find out, starting today. The gameplay of Spider-Man basically shows that he can do everything that other characters can also do. Like, oh, if you do a perfect evade, like with the others, it'll increase the gauge, like with the others. And if you do hit them up into the air, like with the others, oh, it's just a load of gibberish terms for stuff that the rest of the characters already do. Just now you can take down enemies a bit easier.
Got his big ball of white goo, white web stuff.
His wrecking ball.
Spew his white balls of death on people.
I would like to say that he looks a bit off. Like it's someone's dad in Spider-Man costume. like, I don't know. There's something off about his body.
He's in his early 20s.
He looks worse than Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man costume.
Oh, what's wrong with Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man? Bless him.
Stop.
We're about to get into a really long discussion about Spider-Man's, I feel like.
This is now the Marvel Cast podcast. It's no longer about games.
Where Prince only talks about the X-Men.
Yeah! I'm like, where's my in to talk about Cyclops and how I love and hate him at the same time?
You sound like a Cyclops fan.
Can you tell?
Well, for our main topic this week, I figured we'd jump off of what Prince was saying at the start of the episode, because they recently saw that Welcome to Raccoon City Resident Evil movie. So are modern movie adaptations really better than the old ones? Because there's this headline or something, this quote going around I saw the other day, that the Chris Pratt's Mario voice is so good and the Mario adaptation is going to be much better than the original.
Oh no.
It's like, can we wait until we see it and then make our own minds? But are movie adaptations better now, or have they always been bad and will continue to be bad, or did they used to be better?
That's such a hard question. I feel like in the long-term history of it all, they usually tend to be worse. Like when they tried to remake Psycho, like with Vince Vaughn, oh my god, sorry, I remembered that all of a sudden. Like, things like that just don't work most of the time. And I feel like it's like that with most movies. Like, if you create something beautiful, it's really hard to recapture that a second time. And a lot of people don't know how to do it. Like, there's so many different ways. Some people stick exactly to, like, the perfect script. Like, when they tried to remake Cabin Fever, and it got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was the same exact script, it was just worse. Like, stuff like that. Like, I feel like it's so hard to recapture that, like, lightning in a bottle. But on the other, like, side, really bad movies that have potential should probably get remade. Because they have potential.
So they should keep making Doom movies until they get it right.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it that bad?
I also have not seen it, but...
Oh!
Judging from the general feel I get from people talking about it.
Wait, was it Doom with The Rock?
That was the original one.
Doom?
Was it not Doom?
Yeah, they made a new Doom movie as well. Then they like Doom Annihilation or something like that. Yeah, Doom Annihilation, like 2 years ago.
With The Rock?
No, it's not with The Rock. This is like a direct to video kind of movie. I haven't seen it, but apparently it's not very good.
I do remember seeing the original on, you know, TV. Didn't pay to go and see it. And because, hey, there's floating guns in the game, So there's a floating gun in the movie.
How is that what happened?
Oh no.
Yeah, it was floating in like a force field or something, so they had a quote-unquote reason for it to be there, but it's still a silly thing to do. So was Welcome to Raccoon City worse than the original Resident Evil?
Such a hard thing to judge, to be honest, because
there a mansion with an insane AI?
No, there was okay, not. So I mean, it's so weird, to be honest, because I feel like the first one's weird for me because, like, I played I love Resident Evil. I love Resident Evil as, like, a game franchise so much. Like, wow. wow. Like, I love Resident Evil. It's kind of lame. But the first movie is kind of good from a movie standpoint. I hate it as, like, a Resident Evil fan because I'm like, this isn't Resident Evil. A little bit, except for... From, like, on its own, the first Resident Evil Mila Jovovich movie, it's kind of badass. They got a lot of the creature designs. Like, I mean, CGI back then is bad, so it's bad no matter what now. But back then, I was like, that's kind of cool. Mila Jovovich, super hot, gonna be real. Like, I love her. The Fifth Element is, like, my favorite movie. It's interesting seeing things because the majority of characters you meet in the first Resident Evil, like, Mila Jovovich movie are Umbrella on top of that. Like, it humanizes Umbrella a lot more for a movie that's also, like, outwardly against Umbrella, which I find interesting. All the sequels to it are terrible. But the first one, I think, stands decently well, especially as a movie. And then with Raccoon City, I hate it so much because I'm a fan of the games. But I feel like it was a pretty good movie also. The set design was impeccable. I was old. Like, the set design, oh my god. Wow, I used to do set design and theater tech, so it blew my mind to see this stuff. The lighting was terrible, which really ruins the set design, which was unfortunate. The acting is good, but the script is shit, and it's shit because, for me, personally, I'm like, this isn't Resident Evil, but it takes all the elements of Resident Evil. So I'm mad about it.
Are you?
It got all my characters wrong. It got all my characters wrong. I'm in Resident Evil, like, for the characters and lore, oddly enough, because I'm not the biggest horror game, like, person. I have really bad anxiety. I can't do a lot with gaming these days. It's really unfortunate. But Resident Evil, like, I love the characters so much, I force myself through this stuff. Ah! Like, so it hurt to see all of, like, my favorite characters be, like, not them, to be honest. Like, their personalities were way off. Claire and Chris are kind of bad people, but not in, like, the that they're doing bad things kind of way, but in, like, the, like, I would see these fuckers on Always Sunny in Philadelphia way. like, it's weird things like that that took me so out of it that I, like, didn't even know what to do with this movie because... I think it might have been a good movie on the surface level, and I think I might have liked it if I didn't know Resident Evil. And it was beautiful, and honestly, it was well acted. It just, like, for me, the script was shit. So it's hard to compare the two, because they're both good in weird ways, and really bad in other ways. And I don't know which one I'd go to see more, or complain about more.
Well, from a strictly critical standpoints, the Hollywood adaptations of video games, according to Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic, the only ones that are above 50% are Detective Pikachu, Sonic the Hedgehog, Angry Birds the Movie 2.
I agree with that. I'm not
and
lie.
The rest are below 50%. Some down as low as 4. There's one at 0%. That's Tekken.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they haven't been getting... I mean, they have been getting better, but they've never been critical successes.
I tell you what, though. I really, really like Detective Pikachu. Like, I'm a majorly lapsed Pokemon fan. Like, I have not been playing the games for years. I have not kept up with anything, but... I went to watch Detective Pikachu in theaters, and it made me feel like, you know, just like a kid playing Pokemon Red on the Game Boy for the first time again. It was just all this wonder of like, oh wow, that's the Pokemon, like the way they've kind of portrayed it in real life is really cool. And I'm always a sap when it comes for like, you know, stories of like, you know, father figures or like families having like, you know, all sorts of stuff. I don't want to get into too much spoiler territory because people might not have seen it, but it just ticked like every single box for me as far as like a kind of like a feel good movie does. Like, it wasn't a great film, but like it was really enjoyable. I think it was a good job at adapting a game.
Did it get? Because I thought people liked that one, to be honest.
Yeah.
One that I saw recently, DOA, Dead or Alive, that's 33% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh. And it's...
Wait, there's a movie for that?
Yeah, yeah. It's not a very good movie, but it's... As far as an adaptation goes, it's awful. There's fighting, there's kind of a tournament-ish, but... Yeah, it's using the names and that's about it.
Oh my gosh.
The acting's fine. The story's a bit, I say a bit, the story's very weak. But it's a good popcorn flick.
How's the costume design? I might check this out, to be honest.
I mean, the selling point is, ooh, look, there's three ladies.
But how is the costume design? I feel like there's a way you could do it tastefully. Like,
there is like a way you could do it tastefully, but not in 2006, though. Oh, okay, apparently.
Okay, so no. Aww.
Aww. Did anyone watch the Max Payne movie from 2008?
Oh my god!
I've never got around to it, no.
I haven't seen it since then, but I vaguely remember it. I remember it playing on, like, 2010 on, like, Spike TV. So I didn't see it then, but I saw it.
Like, I'm a huge, huge Max Payne fan. The first two games I absolutely love. The third one was really cool as well, just quite different. But, oh my god, the first time I saw the poster of it with Mark Wahlberg wearing his bloody turtleneck, like... It was just a complete, like, you know, disaster. Like, I mean, I could talk at length about why this movie's bad, but, like, turtleneck, I think, is literally, like, I can boil it down to turtleneck. Turtleneck
just
is
a great place to start.
It's just such, it's like, oh, he doesn't wear it, like, Max Payne doesn't wear a turtleneck. He wears, like, you know, he's got, like, he's like a shirt and a tie, you know, he's kind of a bit of a slob, he's a bit, you know, kind of depressed all the time, so he doesn't really take care of himself. He doesn't brood around in a turtleneck and a trench coat. Like, you know, it's just... And Mark Wahlberg, of all people, to play Max Payne. Come on, Mark Wahlberg.
He was so popular then, too, though. Like, wasn't that around the time he made his big, like, action movie comeback? Like, I understand why he was in it, I feel like. Because I remember him being very popular. But I also am like, goddamn, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I think he was just coming off of The Departed as, like, you know, a big kind of movie that he was in. So he decided to do Max Payne. He said himself he'd never played the games and he didn't really know anything about the games. Yeah. But he just...
There's a crying baby, that's all I remember.
Oh, man, that crying baby was... It was nightmare fuel for many days, many nights.
Yep.
And then, like, they do this whole thing, like, the first, like, it's meant to be an adaptation of the first game, and the whole thing about the first game is that there's this drug called Valkyr that kind of, like, makes people go crazy and, like, sadistic, and they decided to portray this in the movie by actually having, like, Valkyrie kind of, like, monsters that appear that, like, you know, are meant to represent, you know, people being high and stuff like that. And it's just, it's just really, really not good. That should be a zero.
Oh my god. Oh, like, the artistic choice to do that, you gotta just be like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I want to give him props for trying something out, but it was just so bad. It was just so bad.
E for effort. Like, it's not quite an F.
Yeah.
It should be, but it's not, because you tried.
Yeah. Oh, we got really, really emotional about the Max Payne movie.
No, I love it. Like, I could listen to more. I don't know if Ace is okay with that. I shouldn't talk. Sorry.
Well, I think we've reached the end of another episode of the Greencast. Thank you for joining me, Gauls, Payslips, and Prince.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Hello. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Greencast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing with it wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And there we talk about more video game adaptations, but not the Hollywood ones. And until next time, game on.